You're listening to Adventures in Autism. Each episode, we will bring you the latest in news regarding autism, as well as our personal story and the topic of the week. We are not medical professionals, and none of the information that we give should be taken as such. Instead, we are parents of a severely autistic child. We are here to share our lives and our personal experiences with you. If you would like to know more about our personal story or access any of our other podcasts, you may do so through openeyesnetwork.com. If you would like to share your personal story with us, you may send an email to feedback@openeyesnetwork.com or access our Facebook fan page at Open Eyes Network, as well as our Twitter feed at Open Eyes Network. Thanks for listening. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Adventures in Autism. My name is Ira Robinson.
And this is Jolene Robinson.
And we have not done one for a while, unfortunately, and we'd like to apologize as of right now for our neglect of doing this show. But boy, we have just been so short on time here in this household over the past few weeks. And when we'd sit down to get one done, something would either end up coming up or one of us would end up being sick or something along those lines. But
yeah,
one
something
way or the
just
other.
Kept coming up over and over. And I apologize. I know my voice kind of sounds a little different this time. I like just wake up before we do this show, so my voice is still asleep. So that's what you're hearing. But I'm not actually. Well, I'm kind of sick, but the main thing is I'm still asleep.
You're a little sinusy compared to what you usually are today.
Exactly. So you're not hearing wrong. It's still me. My voice is just a little different this morning.
So anyways, yeah, we have kind of been neglectful over, I don't know, about a month now or so of doing the show, but we're back into the swing of things here, and hopefully things will pick right back up again, and we'll be doing this again for every week as we normally had been. Again, all apologies, but you know how time is. It kind of gets away from you sometimes. So tonight we want to bring you guys a topic that, well, we find to be very fascinating. I know that it's something that Jolene and I have talked about quite a few times over the years. And that's the subject of not only nicknames, but language in general, and especially in regards to a kiddo that has autism. So, Jolene, why don't you get us started a little bit on this topic, and we'll take it from there.
Okay, well, as we have mentioned before, Seth lost the ability to speak for quite a while, and he had to relearn everything. It was thanks to him having his sister Crystal that helped him to relearn everything. Granted, yes, he did go to a public school for a short period of time, and he did have a speech teacher and his regular special ed teacher and so on and so forth, and they, of course, helped work with him. But he did the most improvement when Crystal was beginning to learn to talk. And it's funny, too, because during that same time period, we used Crystal a lot to try to learn what he was saying. So we've been there, you know. We've been there with a child who, by all honesty, should be able to talk, but can't. And so trying to get over the hurdles of knowing what they're trying to say, knowing what they're trying to get out, and learning their language, which is pretty much what this episode is all about. Is just, when we say language, I'm meaning you have to learn their language before you can teach them our language.
Yeah, that's it exactly. And that's the big problem that I know we have had with Seth for many years, but I know that other parents out there have gone through too with their kids that have autism. one of the side effects or side factors that comes a lot with autism and with the kids when they're learning how to talk, if they're even verbal to begin with, which is, you know, kind of a hit or miss, depends on the kid. But you know, if they're verbal, a lot of times they will actually make up their own language, and you have to try to figure out, okay, what the heck are they talking about when they're saying one word or whatever? And in their mind, they might have a completely definition, a completely different definition for the word, if they even know what the word means to begin with, you know?
Exactly.
But we'll get into all of that definitely. So let's talk about a little bit about nicknames here first.
Okay.
And then we'll get into the furtherance of language as we go.
Mm-hmm.
Nicknames with Seth are like really big. He's all about giving things nicknames.
Yeah, he's all about giving people and other things nicknames.
Even though he doesn't like getting a nickname anymore himself.
Yeah. We call him Sethy, and he doesn't really care for that anymore. He used to like it, but now he's like, oh, no, quit.
I'm too old for Sethy.
Yeah, I'm too old for that, really.
Yeah, so, but he gives nicknames to everything. Like, everything gets its own name. For example, me, I'm not really Daddy. Of course, he'll call me Daddy when he wants something, but when he's just talking to me, or when he's like, you know, passing me by and wanting to greet me, or something along those lines, he calls me Harry Buffalo.
No, get it right. Big fat hairy buffalo.
Yeah, that would be the full extension of the name, but a lot of it is just, you know, he'll come along and he'll be like, hello, Buffalo, you know, that kind of thing. So, which, you know, I don't mind at all, as long as he's not calling me some kind of foul name. You know, I don't care what he's.
Yeah, I mean, it's not meant as an offense.
No, and he does it as a joke. I mean, it all started a while back. It was about a year ago, I guess, is when he really started kicking in with the Harry Buffalo nickname.
Before then, it was Big Fat Harry Ape.
Yeah, before that, it was Big Fat Harry Ape, right? I'm always Big Fat something, so.
Yeah, something Big Fat. No, Big Fat Harry. Big Fat Harry.
Big Fat
something.
Harry, yeah. He's always complaining about my long hair. Because I have long hair that tends to like go way out of control.
And then your beard.
It does not have any control.
And then your beard. He's always.
And then my beard, yeah.
He always has an issue with your beard. As soon as your beard starts to grow, he's just like, you got to cut it, Daddy. And it's like, yeah, wait till you get a beard. Let's see how often you cut yours.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But yeah, so whenever I would go to give him a hug or anything like that, he would be annoyed with it getting into his face and all that kind of good stuff. So he's always had issues with my hairiness, even though I'm not at all a hairy person. But yeah, so he started off calling me Big Fat Hairy Ape, and then it moved or transitioned into Harry Buffalo. And
I don't know where the buffalo came from.
Don't know exactly where the buffalo came from. I think he was reading a book or watching a video or something like that.
It's
at
probably
some point,
something like
and
that, and transferred
like picked it
over.
Up from there and just kind of transferred it over onto me. So, but I don't mind. You know, as I said, whatever he wants to call me, I'm okay with it. It doesn't bother me at all.
And then like he calls Crystal baby girl all the time.
Baby girl, yeah. He's always called her that, and I think he probably always will. He got that because I would call her baby girl when she was really little. And he basically picked up on that nickname that I had given her, and just he's carried it on ever since. I don't call her that anymore, but not always.
I was going to say
once in a while I might, but you know, not as frequently and not as much. But yeah, he definitely refers to her as that all the time. He'll come up to her and say, "Baby girl, how are you? Or you okay, baby girl?"
And again, usually for him when he does that, usually it's because he wants something.
Exactly. Exactly. He's wanting something out of it. You know, I guess that's one thing with kids in general, you know, they're always going to be nice when they're wanting something or whatever. You can always tell. But I know with autistics, especially with Seth, he has, I guess the best way to put it is that he's very guileless. He doesn't really have the ability very well to like deceive or be sly kind
no,
of stuff.
No, not at all. Not at all. He thinks he can.
But yeah, he thinks he can, but
it's like every morning he tries to scare me because we and him wake up at almost the same time every day. It's just how we are. Me and him are both morning people. I wake up at, well, I mean, I work usually at like 5 o'clock in the morning. So on my days off, I'm usually up by 8. And he's usually that way, too. He's just always been a morning person. So we'll usually be up at around the same time, and I'll be in the kitchen getting things done, and he'll come out and he'll try to scare me when he's not realizing I heard his door open, which he has a show going, so I know his door's open. And then I hear him creeping, and I can hear him, you know, kind of giggling to himself, like, oh, I'm going to get her this time. And then he'll come up just to me, and then I'll turn and I'll be like, hi, Seth. And he'll be like, oh, gosh darn it, you found me again. How do you do it?
Yep,
he tries to be sneaky, but he
does that to me all the time. Yep, he tries to be a sneak with me. But yeah, so, you know, with him, when he gets into the mood of he wants something, you can definitely tell it because he's just the super sweet, saccharine sweet kind of sweetness. And it's just like, okay, Seth, what do you want?
So continuing on with the whole nicknames thing, the nicknames, letting them use nicknames instead of using like the real terms. Like, for example, as we said, he does tend to call Ira Buffalo instead of Daddy. Some people might think that's kind of a bad thing, but we're okay with it because we know that's, you know, nicknames are great because either it's easier to pronounce for him or just his way of showing creativity.
It's just his term of endearment for me, basically. I know when he calls me that, he's, you know.
Yeah, we know he's not meaning. Yeah, we know when he's doing that, he's not meaning it in a mean way or he's not, you know.
Not, you know,
I'm
going to
call you
jerk.
Buffalo. Yeah. Or he's going to be like, I'm going to call you Buffalo instead of Daddy. That's just the way it is because I don't see you as Daddy. No, it's not that at all. I mean, he still calls him Daddy. And anytime he wakes up, he comes out and he's like, morning, Daddy. And then after that, it's Buffalo.
Yeah.
But going on with like the easier to pronounce thing, when Crystal was little, he couldn't pronounce crystals. He called her Cree all the time.
Cree was the big one, yeah. Mm-hmm. For you, like, he didn't originally call you Mommy because you didn't live with us for a long time. But
yeah, I'm
then,
not the biological mom. When, for those of you that are new, I'm not biological mom. I'm stepmom.
Right. And when he first started getting to know you, your
Jolene,
nickname,
yeah.
Your nickname for everybody was Chicky.
Chicky, yeah. You know, it's a family nickname I've always had.
Right.
And he was probably about 3. Like, just when the autism hit, when he was starting to try to get to know me. And Jolene was just way too hard for him. I mean, the
yeah,
J
he,
sound. And,
he could not even get close to pronouncing
so,
it.
So I was like, okay, well, my family nickname is Chicky, which, you know, chick or chicken. You know, I mean, he's going to remember this a little bit easier than trying to say Jolene. So I was like, call me Chicky. And even that was difficult. He tended to call me Chi-Chi.
Yeah, Chi-Chi was the big one, or Chi.
Yeah, Chi or Chi-Chi. It was so funny because he'd go to a... After I did move in, he did call me Mommy. He was the first to call me Mommy. But he still liked to call me Chicky, which was still Chi-Chi. I mean, it's always been Chi-Chi. And he'd go to school, and his teachers thought that Chi-Chi was like a dog or something.
Yeah.
They're like, who's Chi-Chi? I'm like, oh, that be me. He doesn't call me Chicky anymore, but that's okay.
Yeah. Nobody does, actually.
Nope, but that's okay. But one funny thing, though, is whenever we do like certain games, he does call me by my real name instead.
Yeah.
But I'm okay with it.
And you can always tell when he does it, he feels uncomfortable a little bit saying it, you know?
Yeah, before he ever does it, like, because he likes to pretend to be a YouTuber, for those of you.
Right.
And so we'll go in his room and we'll play like a Wii game. Like of late, we've been playing Donkey Kong Country Returns. And so we'll go to play and he's like, okay, so we're going to pretend we're doing our episode again, right? I was like, sure. He's like, okay, but I'm going to be calling you Jolene because that's how the audience will know you. Okay, that's fine. You know, didn't bother me any. And it's his creativity. I mean, he has such fun doing that.
Right. And that's a great way for him to express himself and to, you know, practice speaking and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
You know?
I love that he likes to try to do the whole YouTuber thing because he totally just gets to talking. And yeah, it's great.
Totally encourage it. Most definitely. And that might actually be something to do for all of you out there that have kiddos. You know, if your guys watch, like videos, like commentary videos of video games and that kind of thing, a lot of kids are into it these days, you know, watching people play games and that kind of stuff.
And buy a cheap webcam. Cause that just helps them to feel like they're doing it.
Yeah. Buy a cheap webcam. And he doesn't even have it on or anything like that, but
no, it's not
he'll just sit there and he'll just talk into it and all that kind of stuff. And he has a great old time doing it. It entertains him for hours upon hours. So.
Oh yeah. I mean, he'll play anything he plays back there. He'll just pretend like he's doing a thing the entire time. And it's great. Cause he's getting used to talking. So, I mean, it's a great thing to do.
Yep, exactly.
Anyways, going back to like,
yeah,
it's all tied though. I mean, he's getting used to the language. He's using the language more and more. And
yep, exactly. And that's why we encourage it, is to try to get him to express himself, because that expression is something that he's always had a lot of trouble doing. Again, when he first started with the autism, the first signs that we had of it was that he started to lose his language, and it eventually got to the point where he lost everything as far as his language was concerned. We literally had to start back out at ground zero.
He started off with just having just guttural sounds, you know, for those of you that don't remember, there was the one episode where we talked about the whole moon pie, and when he would try to say moon pie, he went oompa. So it's just literal basic language. Would be mean more. Gma would be grandma, and day for daddy.
Right, exactly. And it took us a while, a long while actually, to try to figure out what his different language terms were meaning, like what he was trying to express with them. The M, you know, that M sound was one of the big ones, because that was one of the first ones that he was trying to express. He was trying to say more or want more.
Which, for those of you that haven't heard before, more tended to mean a lot of things.
It was everything.
It was everything.
It really was.
More milk, juice, food.
Yeah, he would just kind of walk up to us and go, and so we finally figured out, you know, meant more. And so we were like, you know, more what? More, what do you want? What are you looking for? And he just, So yep. Eventually we got him to the point where he started being able to kind of gesture randomly into a direction.
He'd walk out to the kitchen and just kind of point and, okay, so we're going to go looking in this cupboard, pull out everything. Is this what you want? No. Is this what you want? No. Is this what you want? By the time we pull everything out, if it's not in there, then tantrum starts.
Yes, exactly. It was just a mess, you know. And so it took us a while to get back to a place that we were feeling at least a little more comfortable in our interactions with him, trying to figure out, you know, what are you trying to express? What are you trying to say? What do you want from us? You know, all of that kind of stuff.
It took a long while. Like I said, Crystal was the biggest thing that helped him to learn, because he was able to mimic her, because she went from the same
ground zero
to, she eventually surpassed him in the language department.
Yeah.
And he was able to mimic her, because then we were starting to refer to her, since she grew up with him this way. We were able to use her as a tool to understand what Seth was saying. I mean, there was a lot of times where he would say something and I just quite don't know what he was trying to say. So ask Crystal, you know, what was he trying to say? And of course, she's like 3 or 4. She's just like, well, he's saying da da da. But I mean, in her own little way, you know, thinking it's more of a game, you know, and so it wasn't the easiest thing, but
they had gotten to the point too where they had developed their own language together.
Oh, well, definitely.
And were able to understand each other through that means of communication,
and
too.
And that's why we would go to Crystal and ask her, you know, what did he say? I mean, the biggest thing is you have to learn their language. You have to learn their language. You got to do what you can to learn what their words mean. You know, be open to a word meaning 50 different things. And
yeah.
And if they don't speak, if they, you know, end up just being mute or whatever the case is, learn what, you know, the grunts mean, learn what the gestures mean. And if they can't speak or if they have difficulty speaking, then there's the tablets that are out there, and you can use that to help them. Just because they can't speak doesn't mean they can't hear. Doesn't mean that they don't know what the words are. They just have the difficulty speaking.
It's locked in their brain, basically.
Yeah. I mean, it's they don't know how to get it out. I mean, it's just like, you know, you're trying to think of that word, you know, and you're like, oh, it's on the tip of my tongue. It's like that for them, but it's just all the words. They just can't really, what's that word? How do I say it? How do I pronounce it? I can think of it, but I can't speak it.
I'd like to toss in here, too. There was some investigations that were being done and research that was being done on kids that are nonverbal and maybe different ways that they're communicating that we don't understand. And one of those things that they were looking into, and there's actually a fair amount of really credible evidence to show that this actually is one possibility that some kids are doing, is that when they're trying to speak and you think that they're nonverbal and they're just kind of making weird noises, if you record them and you play them in reverse, there actually is some speech pattern that's there. There's an example of one girl who is, I think she was 16 and she had been nonverbal her whole life. And she was, basically just sitting there making strange noises on the, audio recording. But when the speech was played backwards, you can hear her say, "Mommy, I love you." And it's something maybe worth looking into with your kids. If they're nonverbal, maybe something like that is occurring and you don't realize it because all that you're hearing is the forward speech there, you know, but there might be something that's going on in the brain that is, essentially like reversing things and making it so that what we're hearing is maybe to us like guttural kind of weird noises, but to them it's an actual full sentence.
Exactly.
I know that you, for example, Jolene, you are one person who is one of those weird people that remember things from way, way, way when you're a baby.
I remember learning to walk. I remember being at my grandparents' house, and my mom, my grandma, and my grandpa were trying to get me to walk, or, well, probably just plain stand, I guess I should say, because I couldn't stand very well. And I remember thinking, I can't do this. But I had no way of telling them, you know, no or anything like that. And I remember when my grandma held me up, not only did she have arthritis in her hands, so her knuckles and joints were all swollen and her hands were cold. She also had long nails, so they kind of dug into me. But my grandma also had gaudy rings, which, oh my gosh, that was so painful to have on my poor little ribs. And, oh, I mean, it was just so painful. So every time she picked me up, I just kept squirming because it just hurt so bad. And she's trying to hold me up by my armpits and my waist or my chest, you know, trying to have me stand, and it was hurting, you know, and I just kept squirming, and it's just like, oh, this hurts. And then my grandpa would go to try, and my grandpa's hands were the softest out of all of them. I mean, I actually tried when he did, and then my grandma tried again, and I just, no, and then I ended up banging my head in the coffee table. So that ended things, and I was glad, and I actually purposefully kept crying so that I wouldn't have to do it again, because I didn't want my grandma to hold me again. I mean, it was just no. I could handle my mom. My mom had a few rings, but she didn't have very many rings. Her hands weren't so cold. She had nails, but her nails were taken into me. So it's like I can relate because I remember being that young and not being able to speak. I remember having full sentences in my head, even though, think of it, I was learning to walk or learning to stand. How old would I have been?
Maybe two.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like, I can relate, you know, I can relate. So whenever it's come to Seth and speaking, I've never looked at him as he doesn't know the words. It's more of a, they're trapped and he just doesn't know how to say it. I mean, exactly. I am of 100% belief that any child out there, disabled, whatever, has the ability to think full sentences in their head. They're just not able to get it out.
Yes, I absolutely agree. I mean, another great example is that girl Carly.
Okay, good. I was hoping we were going to talk about
her. I cannot at this point remember her last name, unfortunately.
I think it's like Johnson or Johnson.
I think it is, yeah.
Look her up on YouTube.
Yeah, look up Carly's Cafe.
Yes, yes.
Carly's Cafe is a perfect example. Carly is a girl who was born and she has autism.
And she has a twin sister that is not.
Right. She has severe autism with a twin sister who's not. But her autism is severe enough that she is completely nonverbal. She has been her whole life. And
her dad had been doing everything he could to try and help her. He's had specialists come over and blah, 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 blah. I mean, this was heartbreaking enough that it ended up having a divorce in between her and her dad. And her dad was just like, no, I'm doing what I can for her.
Yeah. It got to the point that they tried out of desperation using something that Jolene was starting to refer to earlier, like the tablets and the different apps that are out there to be able to, like, you know, point to pictures and it would say the words and that kind of thing.
For her, they used a laptop.
Yeah. And you know, kind of like a little bit more specialized software, but, mm-hmm. You know, more elaborate software basically. But they got it to the point that she was actually starting to make full, complete, coherent paragraph.
Well, before then,
speech.
Before then, the what keyed them in that she was actually able to speak and that she was actually able to comprehend what was going on around her is they would have her type and she would type like just one word at a time and they would give her a chip as a reward. And like one of the first times she did this, she wrote hurt, and they were like, hurt? What do you mean hurt? And then she went behind the couch and threw up.
Right. Right.
So as soon as that happened, they were like, oh my God,
there's something was up.
Yeah, there's something with this. Just, so they used that and they pushed her and now she's able to fully communicate. And so the Carly's Cafe it has her in it and it's her. It's her way of showing people what it's like to be her in a crowded area.
Yeah, it's showing a first person's perspective view on what she as an autistic person sees, hears, thinks during like just a little 5-minute outing at a restaurant, basically. And it's really amazing. I definitely recommend that anybody out there watch it because even if you don't have an autistic kiddo yourself, just have an understanding of what goes on with a person with autism is really important. I mean, especially in this day and age where more and more people are having this issue, mm-hmm. you know? So, yeah, Carly's Cafe, definitely look it up. I'll put a link actually to the YouTube video on the show notes for this show here so that people can go there and take a look at it.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting too, continuing with her, is that she's still nonverbal and she only speaks like, you know, through tablet and laptop, that sort of thing. And, you know, she's just like a regular person. She has crushes on people and
yeah. Hates her sister some days.
Yeah, I mean, the whole shebang, you know, the whole shebang. And it's, you know, when they realized that she was able to comprehend and that she does. I mean, because they didn't really have to teach her how to speak. I mean, they didn't have to teach her how to type very well or anything. She just pretty much knew, you know, she knew how to type the words. They didn't really have to teach her how to, you know.
It just came totally naturally to her.
She knew. I mean, just because she couldn't speak it doesn't mean that she didn't know what the word was. Yep. And from there, you can see, I mean, I know they have a website, and I know you can read firsthand some of the stuff she's
written. Actually written a couple of books, too, yeah.
Has she? Okay, yeah. I don't know about that one. But yeah, so, I mean, just because you have a child that's nonverbal does not mean they don't understand what's going on.
Nonverbal does not mean non-communicative. So
yeah, as I said, I firmly believe that every person, no matter what is going on, they can think full sentences in their head. They just don't know how to get it out.
The consciousness knows and is able to think and comprehend, but the physical body may have something broken that doesn't allow it to come through. But exactly. That doesn't mean that that consciousness is still not capable of doing every bit of thinking. I think even people in comas still do too.
Oh, well, exactly. So I mean, like
I think there's
said,
been enough proof out there of you know, people having that full consciousness. You know, there was just this story in the news not too long ago of a guy who woke up from a deep coma that he had been in for many years, and he spoke about everything that was going on around
him.
Yeah,
he heard
everything
that went on.
Up to and including his mom telling him that she wished that he would just die. So, you know, I mean, that's...
Just because it appears that they don't understand, it does not mean they can't hear, they don't understand what's being said, or that they don't know how to, like, they don't understand language.
Yep. Exactly. Well, let's take a break here real quick. And when we come back, we'll get into more of the language issues. And hopefully you guys out there are enjoying this show. You can join us in the chat room. We will be there as this show is airing. We're not live, of course, but you can go to lnmradionetwork.com and go to the chat and listen page there. Or you can go to our website at openeyesnetwork.com and click on the listen live link at the top of the page as well. And you guys can join into the chat and interact with the community there. And stick around. We'll be back in just a few minutes. So I'll admit it, I'm a geek. I love anything science fiction or fantasy. I love to collect things that are related to the things that I like. There's a place that I go to find unique things. It's an Etsy shop that's called The Geeky Stitcher. They have some amazing and one-of-a-kind handcrafted collectibles on a lot of my favorite science fiction and fantasy-related shows and movies. You know, geek stuff. They have things like gloves that look just like the TARDIS from Doctor Who. They have crocheted figures from Star Trek, Disney movies, even Navi from The Legend of Zelda. They're all made with love, and they have a unique style, and best of all, they're cheaply priced. They'll even do custom orders. All you have to do is let them know what you would like to see made, and they'll get right on it. Check them out today at thegeekystitcher.etsy.com, or you can also go to their Facebook fan page, which is found at The Geeky Stitcher. Go there today. I'm sure you guys will find something that you would really, really love.
The L&M Radio Network and Late Night in the Midlands depends on you, the listener. Without you, there would be no us. So help us continue to bring you the best guests with the best information and subscribe today. Information on becoming an L&M subscriber can be found at the top of latenightinthemidlands.com. Just click the About Subscriptions tab and become part of the family while helping the truth stay alive. And while you're at it, maybe subscriptions aren't for you. A one-time donation helps as well. Click that donate button on the right side of latenightinthemidlands.com and help us help you.
Have you ever heard of Audible? Audible is a website with hundreds of thousands of audiobooks. They're all high quality, easy to listen to, and best of all, if you take advantage of a special deal that we've worked out for you, you can get one for free. That's right, a free audiobook of your choice in any genre simply by going to audibletrial.com/openeyes and signing up for the free trial. It's simple to do, and it would support the shows that we bring to you, and hey, You get a free book out of the whole thing. So why not take advantage of it today? Go to audibletrial.com/openeyes and sign up for the trial.
Set me free. I don't care what's behind your mask, my knight in armor. Wish I could remember how to fly. Will you spread my wings across the skies? Fight for our future, never alone, always forever together. Superhuman, and never give up. Live every moment like it's your last. It's always the fighters who are writing the past. Be superhuman, and never give up, never give up. To fight. I wish you were next to me, my guardian. If I could remember how to fly, I'd spread my wings across the sky.
You guys are listening to Adventures in Autism, and my name is Ira.
And this is Jolene.
And we were talking before the break about some issues as far as language is concerned, and we brought up the girl Carly. And while we were there on the break, Jolene went on ahead and looked it up to make sure that we had our information correct. And her name is Carly Fleischman. She has a website at
carlysvoice.com. CarlysVoice. C-E.
And we'll definitely have it linked up to the show notes for this show as well.
And she has the one book out, and it's between her. It's written by both her and her dad. It's called Carly's Voice, Breaking Through Autism.
There you go. So I definitely recommend the book. I've read excerpts of it. I've not read the whole book myself. I know that Jolene wants to read it too, but
I didn't know there was the book.
Yeah, exactly. And I've read excerpts of it, and it really is amazing, especially if you want to learn more about what it's like to be autistic from a first person's perspective, especially someone who's that deeply autistic. We see, you know, a lot of people that are like mildly autistic, or, you know, they're kind of like mild to moderate on the scale or something like that. And, you know, we got their perspectives of things, but for somebody that is really deeply autistic, the severely autistic kind of people.
Yeah. You know, she's not just lightly autistic and just happens not speak. I mean, no, she's pretty full on.
Yeah. She's severely autistic.
She gets the whole has to wrap up thing. She does the rocking, and I mean, you just got to kind of watch a clip of her and you'll be like, yeah, she's
that's deeply
definite. Yeah.
Very deep. So yeah, there we go. Now, as far as, the rest of the thing that we were talking about with language, you know, for me, the way that I look at, our dealings with Seth is that one of the really big issues that we've had with him is the matter of definitions. And, for example, he will have an idea of a word meaning something, but it's actually completely the wrong meaning.
Yes, this is a big issue.
It's a very common problem as far as Seth is concerned.
When he was about a year ago, this was a year ago and then prior, this was a way more huger issue than it is now. Nowadays, it's not as big of a deal. He's a little bit past it. He just kind of is like, okay, I go with it. But yeah, when it comes to your child, when they do start learning, if your child is a speaker, is able to speak, be aware that they may not know for sure what a word means. They may think it means something else than what it really means. Let me see if I can think of a word that I can't think of the word that, but yeah, there's just a lot of different words where he, okay, blame.
Yeah, that's
blame.
One.
He, this is unfortunately a really hard one because, there would be times that Crystal, okay, there would be times he's got Legos in his room and he always likes to set them up all pretty like, and then he likes to leave it just sit. Sometimes he'll go to play with them and then like he'll go to like just barely touch them and they break, you know, fall apart and whatnot. So immediately he'd be like, Crystal was in here. Crystal did something, even though it's more of a thing of, no, you touched them and they kind of fell apart because they weren't together. The
you didn't have them well enough together.
Exactly. Yeah. But no, his first instinct would be Crystal. And it took me a long while to realize he did not understand what the word blame meant. Because I'd be like, don't blame Crystal. It's not her fault. And he's like, I'm not blaming her. And it's like, yes, you are. That's exactly what
you're
doing.
That's the exact definition of it.
So finally, there was one day when there was no issue going on, when there's nothing going on, just by casual, I just asked him, what does blame mean? And he admitted, I don't know. So that was the, you know, I already had a sneaking suspicion that he didn't really know what the word blame meant. So I tried to explain it to him. And then after that point in time, I used different words for whenever he tried to blame Crystal, you know, don't say it was Crystal, you know, just be more blunt. You know, he obviously didn't know what blame means. So just go around the word blame.
Yeah. Make it as simplistic as you can, because a lot of times the complexity of language, it is a problem for a lot of these guys. The English language is messed up. It really is. There's just no getting around it. I don't know if other people in other speaking language areas have as many issues like this as we do here in the English speaking world. But I know for one example, and you were the one that wrote this down and I thought it was a perfect example, is the difference between the word no and no.
Yes, this was the big issue. I know I've talked about this before, but I'll go through it again. So basically, there is a time period. This was just when he was starting to learn to really speak, and he would say no all the time. And we thought he meant no, as in, no, I don't want to do that kind of thing. So he just...
As in N-O,
yeah. And he just would just talk, and then he would just say no. And this was during a time period when he didn't refer to himself ever. He would never say I or me or anything like that. So, you know, Seth, you're supposed to do this. You know, Seth, you know to do this, right? No. You know, yes, you're supposed to do this, and, you know, so on and so forth. And it caused a lot of headache. And finally, we realized that he meant no, as in, I know. He just wasn't referring to himself.
As in K-N-O.
Yes.
Or K-N-O-W.
Now, he went to school. This was part of what brought us to homeschool him. He would go to school, and he had a special ed teacher that had an issue with him saying no. And it finally came to a point of one day he was in the bathroom and he told me, you know, mommy, there's two different words for no. And I'm saying K-N-O-W, no, not N-O. And that's when it dawned on me. So the special ed teacher hasn't noticed that he never refers to himself? You know, I mean, it was just, you know, I mean, it didn't take us that long to really realize that when he said no, he meant I know. Of course, yes, we live with him, but you would think that someone who's supposed to be specialized in this would kind of catch up on that. So I had to write a note to her, and what do you know? Never had any issues after that. You know, he had so much trouble, he even had in-school suspension because of all this, because he kept saying the word no. And come to find out, he was just meaning I know. So, I mean, you really got to be careful just because they're saying something and your gut instinct would be, oh, he's saying no. He's trying to, you know, fight or, you know, take into consideration, do they refer to themselves ever? Do they ever say I or me? You know, that's the biggest thing, you know.
You said you know many times there as well.
I'm sorry. But yeah, I mean, the word no is in there. I mean, I have to help differentiate. But yeah, I mean, he never referred to himself. If he would ask to get a toy from Crystal, he'd be like, give toy, you know, he never referred to himself.
Yeah, he wouldn't say give me the toy or anything like that, or even give Seth toy or something like that.
Yeah, Crystal hand toy, and she'd be like, what?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, now, I mean, it's all part of learning their language. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you know, that leads into the next series of things with what we have as far as language is concerned is that, you know, if they speak in broken sentences, you want to make sure that you're getting the full meaning of what it is. And if they're trying to speak in full sentences, make sure that you're letting them actually speak out the sentence. We had an issue here where out of, I don't know, kindness or trying to just help him out when he's trying to speak, sometimes we'll try to finish the sentence for him. You know, knowing what he's meaning or trying to get across, we'll just try to be helpful and say, well, we understand what you're meaning or something like that. He gets very upset when somebody interrupts him in any way.
Oh, yes.
In a big way, this is a big upset point for him to be interrupted while he's trying to get a sentence out, even if it was under a helpful circumstance or anything along those lines.
Yeah, it's even to the point that nowadays it'll be like, say I'm talking to you, and then there's like a break in our discussion, maybe because like you're taking a drink and you're the one speaking at the moment, and Seth will come out and he'll just start talking, but just as he's talking, you continue talking, and he's like, oh, Daddy interrupted me, and it's like, no, Daddy was taking a drink.
And then he gets all stompy feet and goes away.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, you just got to deal with it, you know. Some of it, you got to deal with it, and a lot of it is just, you just got to learn, you know, to work with it, and so on and so forth. And so I do want to point this out real fast, too. If your child does not speak and you don't have the funds, you don't have the ability to have a tablet or maybe a computer or something that would have the software that they would need to, you know, do the tapping or the clicking or whatever to say what they mean, you can make, or you can even buy, if you really want to, you know, just a little cutout of pictures to help signify what different things means, like eating and dressing and da 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 da. Excuse me, and then use that to help speak to them. And it can even have the word underneath to help them learn what the word is. But, you know, you can have like a little school bus if they ride a bus, you know, and be like, this is coming, you know. And
right, right, exactly. Do the cue cards or flashcard idea. I know when Seth was still nonverbal, we had those type of things. This was before we had like a tablet or anything like that to use with him. And he didn't really care for it too much. He didn't really like the idea of it.
Yeah, if anything, it seemed more of a punishment to him. But yeah. I know it would be more useful for others.
Yeah, especially if you kind of gear it up from the get-go to do things along these lines.
Whereas we kind of did it out of nowhere and we were like, here, let's try this. And
right.
So we try to put the little pictures on. We had Velcro on the back of them. And so there was like this one that would be, this is what you're feeling or thinking or doing or whatnot, or should be thinking, feeling, doing right now. And then all the others would be on the others. And so we'd go to put the one on there and he'd just kind of get upset with it. So it's like, okay, well, he doesn't really like this idea. So,
and one thing as well, and this actually is something that came up for us, or for me actually, tonight, when I was putting Seth into bed. Sometimes when you have a verbal child that was once nonverbal, they revert back to the nonverbal type of communications.
Oh yeah.
And although that might be annoying or confusing or something along those lines, it's something that you want to be patient with and let them do, because at least they're communicating in one way or another with you. And hopefully you can kind of glean their meaning.
And another thing going on with that is, of late, I don't know how much you know of this, hun, but of late, Seth's been trying to find another means of communicating. But he's been making it all up at the same time. So he's like, well, this means, okay, well, how was I supposed to know what that means? You know, you told me nothing and you gave me no clues as to what that was to mean.
Right.
You know, I mean, he's doing a lot of like trying to do kind of almost sign language kind of stuff.
Yeah.
As well as like sounds as well, you know, using like clicks or taps or something. And it's like, I'm okay with you wanting to do this, but you've got to tell me what these words mean and not get upset with me when I don't know what,
right.
You know, that you rubbing your hands together means don't come in when usually you tapping on your desk means comes in, you know?
Yeah.
So I hear a sound. Oh, I'm supposed to come in. He's like, no, I did. I was like, oh, I thought that was, I thought I was okay to come in. He's like, that means don't come in. How was I supposed to? So you just got to be patient, you know, and gently guide him.
Yeah, just kind of deal with it. Well, we got about a minute and a half or so left here. This episode went really fast for me.
Exactly.
Is there anything else that you had in mind that you really want to get out with this episode?
Okay, well, if your child does speak, and they speak in incorrect tenses, that happens a lot. That will happen a lot. Like with Seth, that happens all the time. So instead, just kind of repeat what they said, but use the correct tense, you know. Don't force them to say it. Just after a while of hearing it, they'll either pick up on it or they're not going to. I mean, there's some words that Seth's been drilled since he was little on how to pronounce in the correct tense for the correct tenses, you know, and some of them he's picked up on, and then there's others he just, nope.
I think a lot of the problem with that is that with a lot of autistic kids, they just don't have any concept of time. So the idea
of
the tenses just are, you know, very confusing to them. So
there is that, yes. But I'm just meaning, you know, just
yeah,
gently. That's what I'm just trying to say. You know, just repeat what they say with the correct tense. And they might eventually pick up on how to use it correctly. And that's why I say don't force them to do it, because it's just going to confuse them. They just won't understand what... It's the same word. I just said that word. What are you making me do?
Yep, exactly. Well, you know, through all of this, I guess the biggest thing for us to get across is to just be patient with the kids and know that if they're not communicating verbally, they are communicating with you somehow. It's just a matter of trying to interpret what they're trying to say, either in their gestures or in the noises that they're making, or even in the look that they're giving you. They're communicating with you. They just may not be able to express it very well.
Exactly.
So with all of this, just be patient with them and learn, you know, learn the language that your kid is speaking. They may not be speaking English or Spanish or Latin or anything along those lines, but they're speaking somehow. And it's just a matter of us knowing that yes, they are communicating. We just have to figure out how.
And if they have a child, and if they have a sibling that's younger than they are, that's maybe learning to speak, do not be afraid to try what we did and ask them if they understand what they're saying or what they're trying to say.
Indeed. Use them. Make use of them. So, yeah, I think this has been a really good episode, and I think people are going to get a lot out of it. I'm glad that we did this one.
Oh, yes, most definitely.
Do you have any idea what we're doing next time around?
Yeah, I already have one. There's movies and shows. We haven't done that one yet.
Well, we'll probably do that one next then. So anyways, yeah, if you guys want to go to the show notes for this show, then you can go to openeyesnetwork.com/AA013. If you guys want to send us an email, you can send it to feedback@openeyesnetwork.com. We welcome any kind of communication with you guys. If you have any of personal stories of your own that you'd like to tell, we're open to it. If you guys would like to suggest any topics to us that you want us to discuss, we'd be more than happy to do that as well. Again, that's feedback@openeyesnetwork.com. You guys can also reach us on Facebook and Twitter at Open Eyes Network on both of those platforms. And we're always communicating on there. And unfortunately, I don't like using it, but I'm still there because, well, we do these shows, so we have to go where the people are. So, yeah, I hope that you guys got a lot out of this. I know that we enjoyed doing it and we've missed doing it, and we're going to come back again with you next week. And although we may not guarantee what we're talking about yet, we will be here. So
I'm pretty sure it's going to be about movies and shows.
So. Exactly. So until next time, guys, keep safe out there and have fun. And thank you so much, as always, for listening.
Thank you.